there, and welcome to the Open Pharma Podcast, the new podcast exploring science communication for pharma industry-sponsored research by Oxford Pharmagenesis. In this podcast, we will be speaking with experts to keep you informed about the latest developments in scientific communication. I'm Amy Williams.
And I'm Steve Kuehl.
And we'll be your hosts today.
In this episode, we talk open access. What is it? How does it work? And what does it mean for patients?
We also go hunting for predatory publishers, looking at what they are, why they're a threat, and how to avoid becoming their prey.
Enjoy the show. We're joined today by Chris Winchester, who, alongside his role as CEO at Oxford Pharmagenesis, is currently chair of the International Society for Medical Publications Professionals and associate member of Green Templeton College at the University of Oxford. All of this as well as being a vocal advocate of open access as part of the Open Pharma Project. Chris, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Steve.
So, first things first, I can see from your various titles that you must be a pretty busy person. How did you become so involved with open access advocacy?
Well, it really grew out of a sense that the current model for publishing pharmaceutical industry sponsored research is no longer fit for purpose. In fact, it dates back more than 350 years. So we organised an advisory meeting of stakeholders from a wide variety of groups, and they made some clear recommendations. And number one was that we should really engage with open access. Certainly, most companies already encourage open access, but what the advocates were saying was to go further and actually require that all the research they conduct or that they fund should be published open access. Open access is fundamentally about providing free, on-demand access to published academic research. What's really exciting is that it can make life a lot easier for all sorts of people, not just researchers and healthcare professionals, but also patients. We're in a generation where patients are increasingly becoming experts, and healthcare professionals are working in partnership with patients to determine their treatment plans. So patients need to be able to access information that is scientifically accurate. Currently, there's so much misinformation floating around, particularly in relation to health, that making sure that patients can access reputable information from peer-reviewed scientific publications is really important. At Oxford Pharmagenesis do a lot of work in rare diseases, and we see that patients with a rare disease or their parents or caregivers are often the expert in their disease, whereas the doctor may only see one patient with that disease in their entire career. And so making sure that patients can access information is really, really important, and that it's not stuck behind a paywall. In fact, patients who are actually volunteering to take part in clinical trials and putting themselves at some unknown risk by taking an unproven treatment can end up being prevented from reading the results of the study they took part in unless they pay a subscription charge.
Open access has gone from strength to strength in recent years, making up an increasingly large proportion of research published. Unfortunately, dishonest so-called predatory publishers have sprung up to take advantage of the scoring industry, mimicking legitimate open access journals and fooling researchers into paying publication fees for service they ultimately do not receive. So, how can predatory publishing affect our industry?
Well, when we think how important it is for patients to have access to reputable information, you immediately think of the importance of peer review and the fact that research has been assessed properly by a group of experts in the field. And not just that, that it's been properly edited and it's enduring, because journals provide a lasting record of the research that someone could refer back to in 6 months' time, 6 years' time, or even 60 years' time. So the big issue facing us now is the fact that there are journals out there that look at first glance to be proper, peer-reviewed, lasting journals that actually are not. We've seen a massive growth in predatory publishing in recent years, from, in one study, just over 50,000 articles a year in 2010 to over 400,000 in 2014, and I'm sure it's much bigger than that already. The big danger is that doctors or researchers who are insufficiently informed could submit their research to a predatory journal in good faith, and then ultimately that research could be lost to the scientific record. Equally, it could be that unscrupulous researchers submit to predatory journals knowing they'll be published.
So if I do find that I've accidentally submitted a paper to a predatory journal, how big a problem is this? Is it just that my paper won't be taken seriously, or are there bigger problems?
Well, I certainly agree that to the expert in the field, the paper won't be taken seriously if it's published in a predatory journal. I think there's also a danger to you as a researcher that you lose some standing and credibility in your field. There are other issues as well. The research you've submitted will not benefit from the peer review process, so you don't benefit from those comments and that input. You may end up putting your name on something that is not actually supported by the evidence. And you may also find that your hard-written work disappears at a later date when the publisher no longer exists. Ultimately, you're supporting an unscrupulous business model with your money.
And what about industry?
There's a real risk to pharmaceutical companies whose research may unknowingly be submitted to predatory journals because of the risk of reputational damage. I think other groups also suffer. Patients may be unduly concerned, misinformed, and make the wrong decision. I think more worryingly even than that is the risk that trust in the whole scientific enterprise may be overturned. And I think you can already see that happening to some extent. So it's really important that we play our part within Open Pharma, within our industry, in making sure that people are informed about predatory journals and know not to use them.
Do you have any practical advice for researchers who are trying to avoid publishing in predatory journals?
Well, I'm glad you've asked that question, because actually there are some fantastic tools and resources out there. And the one that I would recommend is Think, Check, Submit.
Fantastic. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us today, Chris.
Thank you.
After speaking with Chris, we wanted to get some practical tips for deciding whether you're working with a genuine publisher. So here we are with Mary Yanni, who is a publisher at Taylor & Francis. Taylor & Francis have over 150 years of publishing experience, boasting an impressive roster of over 2,000 academic journals. Mary, first of all, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Pleasure to be here.
So I guess first things first, we've heard all about predatory publishers and the damage they can do. What signs should researchers be looking out for when picking their target journals to make sure they don't fall prey?
Well, there are plenty of things to look out for and plenty of ways to check on the legitimacy of a journal and a publisher. We recommend looking through the journal website, looking at existing articles, and perhaps most importantly, communicating with the publisher or the editorial board of the journal. We are seeing increasing cases of predatory publishers mimicking legitimate sites and duping researchers into paying fees by pretending to be a well-established journal. If you're ever unsure, contact the journal for reassurance. Unfortunately, there are a lot of predatory publishers out there, and some are large. Omics is probably the most infamous. Omics made $11.6 million in 2016 from hundreds of journals and academic conferences.
Ah, so we're not just talking about journals here, it's conferences as well?
I'm afraid so. Predatory congresses are actually a huge part of predatory publishing. Researchers end up paying a lot of money and bringing papers along to congresses that are ultimately run for profit rather than scientific exchange.
So what red flags do you think people should be looking out for when they are checking out their target journal?
So the big thing to look out for really is unprofessionalism in general. A few things you might find are a tacky and unprofessional website design with links that do not work. Particularly, you might find links to previously published articles that don't work. Lack of information on indexing, or perhaps stating impact factors that aren't then listed on the official Thomson Reuters list. Another thing would be poor spelling or grammar on the journal website or on correspondence from the journal.
All of those emails that you get with kind of nonsense in, are not legitimate.
That's it. A few other things to look out for could be insufficient contact information on the website, for example, just a PO box rather than a headquarters address, or sometimes no physical address at all. You may find that there are non-institutional contact emails, for example, @gmail.com. Another big one is the peer review process may not be well described on the website, or very often the peer review process described on the website may not match the peer review process that you encounter. You may find that the peer review process is very short and there's no explanation for this abnormal speed, Or you might find that peer review reports are not detailed or useful, and very often you may not receive any peer review reports at all. Another thing you might find is that the supposed editors do not have their editorial role at the journal listed on their institutional profile, or they may seem too senior to be reviewing for an obscure journal. Even if they are legitimate academics, predatory publishers frequently list academics without their permission. And as a side note to this, we always recommend that academics and pharma researchers Google themselves regularly to check that they are not listed on journals without their permission.
I can imagine that's quite an unpleasant surprise.
And I must say it does happen quite frequently. So if anyone's listening out there, give yourself a Google.
So that's quite a big list. Hopefully that'll be enough for everybody to go on. I think it certainly sounds very comprehensive to me. I guess just to wrap up, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners? Any extra insight?
I think my top tip would probably be just to feel free to reach out to publishers and journals at any point to ask for more information. If you're ever unsure of legitimacy of the journal at all, someone at a legitimate journal will always be available to talk to you and reassure you. I think this is especially true when you're being asked to pay an article processing charge, perhaps one you weren't expecting. Don't be afraid to question it.
Great. I would like to just say thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I think this has been really interesting.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And that's everything from us for today. We've looked at the benefits of open access and the dangers of predatory publishers. For more information, you can check out the recent article published by MPIP and their interview with Patty Baskin from the American Academy of Neurology on predatory publishing.
You can also find out more by checking out the show notes to this episode below. If you like this podcast and have any feedback or content suggestions, please do let us know.
Don't forget to follow Open Pharma on Twitter @_OpenPharma and to subscribe to our blog for the latest news in scientific publishing. This podcast has been developed by Oxford Pharmagenesis. Hosting and script development by us, Steve Cool and Amy Williams. Sound editing by me, Amy Williams. And production by Annabelle Borston.
Thank you for listening.